Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Tuesday, January 25th, 2022, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 161, the third paragraph, starting with, "Under only slightly different conditions," reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Avi B., 12 Traditions, Terry H., reader of the text is Kara L., Dana P. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Kara L. The reference number for Monday, January 24th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 18,452. That's 18452. And for this morning, Tuesday, January 25th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 18,457. That's 18457. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Betsy H., and Shelley E. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Avi B. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Avi.
Good morning. Good morning, Avi B. Here in Northern New Jersey, trying to recover one day at a time. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would inspire them or others. Step 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact of God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And with that, I pass. Thank you for letting me be of service this morning.
Thank you so much, Avi B. And I'll now ask Terry H. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you for the service that you do. I'm Terry H. I'm from Pensacola, Florida, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater through God's grace. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group has should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as a whole ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible for those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be of service in January. I am blessed, and with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Terry H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press *1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 161, the third paragraph, under only slightly different conditions, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I'll now ask Kara L. to begin reading. Good morning, Kara.
Good morning, Don. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Under only slightly different conditions, the same thing is taking place in many eastern cities. In one of these, there is a well-known hospital for the treatment of alcohol and drug addiction. 6 years ago, one of our number was a patient there. Many of us have felt for the first time the presence of the power of God within its walls. We are greatly indebted to the doctor in attendance there, for he, although it might prejudice his own work, has told us of his belief in ours. Good morning, this is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that this is Towns Hospital in New York, and Dr. Silkworth, who gave us the doctor's opinion in the very beginning of our book. And, I love that it says, many of us have felt for the first time the presence of the power of God within its walls. It reminds me of, where have I found my higher power? What meetings, when we were face-to-face, and even on Zoom, what meetings have I come into there's just something special there, right? That I see people who are recovered, and I have hope, and I know that it's possible. Our own vision meeting, I hear recovery on the lines with everybody. And when I first came on, I knew that it was possible to have an even deeper spiritual connection with my higher power that would take care of my life, that would soothe me when I was discomforted, that would help me through situations that used to baffle me, that would take care of my food for me and my emotional sobriety for me. And I found that in these rooms. I found that in working the steps. I found that with people who also work these steps, and when I think of this time in Towns Hospital, Bill being there, the other alcoholics were there, what a beautiful, beautiful history we have, you know, of and Dr. Silkworth, like, putting his reputation on the line for us, a well-known physician saying, hey, I believe in this. And it's those pioneers that gave me and helped me today. And I'm ever so grateful for that. And with that, I'll pass. And I look forward to hearing from everybody. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kara L., for getting us started. I'm now going to be opening up the lines to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning? It's a great time to share.
Rob H.
Rob H. Who else would like to share this morning?
Alexis F.
Alexis F.
Arlene B.
Arlene B. And who else was there? I have Rob H., Alexis F., and Arlene B. Was there another voice in there?
Hiya P.
Hiya P. Very good. Okay, let's start with Rob H., followed by Alexis F. Go ahead, Rob.
Thanks. Rob H., compulsive overeater, New York. So I see in this paragraph, you know, the same thing is taking place in many eastern cities. And one, there's a well-known hospital for the treatment of alcohol and drug addiction. That spoke up to me because, you know, I used to work at a place that was basically alcohol and drug addiction and for mental health. And it really was an amazing place. And there's a lot of healing there. And, you know, the presence and power of God is probably within its walls, you know. And I think that the doctors and nurses and everybody there does their best to help the patients as they can. And I never really got the sense that the place where I worked was really totally into the 12 steps. We did do a group every once in a while that some people went to. Most of the time, it just felt like they were, you know, kind of forced to go. No one's ever really forced to, but it just sort of felt like the group itself was forced. So I don't know that groups in hospitals necessarily work, but, you know, I think that if there were some other people that were into the 12 steps working there, and I think there were others, just no one ever really talked about it, but I think there were others that were into it, and, you know, I think that it would definitely help people. You know, a lot of times it's the word God that scares people off in the meetings at that place. But a lot of times we would get patients that would be already in the 12 steps, and you know, they would help each other, you know, through it. So yeah. So I don't know. Just thought I'd share that. It just sort of sparked a little interest in my mind. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Rob H. from New York. Alexis F., we share with us now, followed by Arlene B. Good morning, Alexis.
Yes. For many, many years, I didn't look forward to the day. I dreaded it, and I thought, another day to get by, and I can't wait till nighttime when I can go to sleep if I made it that far at all. And then the day came when I couldn't even sleep at night. And the nights were long and the days were long. And lately, because of this program and working with my mental health to better that and working with my spirituality. I'm eager to say a new day. What, you know, what can I do with it today? A new day. It's like putty in my hands. It's like a new slate. It's a new present from God. What can, you know, what can I make of it? Who can I call? How can I make a difference? And my brother is a drug and alcohol counselor in a spiritual program. I think it's 12 step, but I'm not exactly sure. We never really talked about it. I know he's very spiritual, but he does. I don't think he uses the big book. And he says it's the ones, you know, that you think are going to make it and they're going to become leaders. And you never know, like they overdose on drugs. And I learned a lot from him. He gave a seminar on forgiveness. And, you know, he said the people you least expect come up to you and say how you helped them. You know, and I knew a drug and alcohol counselor who said that it's a mental illness, addiction, and I believe it is. It's. I know I used it because of a mental illness to self-medicate and solve my problems. I used alcohol, cigarettes, and food, and. God, I know with the obsession, only God can relieve it. I haven't been doing as much of my 11th step with the fear, resentment, and that dishonesty and anger. I haven't been doing it the way that I like, but coming out of this meeting, it reminded me that there's a recipe for this program, and it's found in the steps, and it's found in the big book. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much, Alexis F. Now, Arlene B., will you share with us, followed by Haya P.? And just a reminder, if you're just joining us, we're on page 161, the third paragraph, that starts with, under only slightly different conditions, and we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph today. So go ahead, Arlene, please share with us.
Thank you. My name is Arlene B. from Los Angeles, California, and I really just wanted to check in. I feel like I sort of need to create, I'm sorry, hold on 1 second. Hi, I'm sorry, I was interrupted. I need to really delve into the big book and these meetings more. And kind of create my own hospital-like stay because I get abstinence and then I lose it. And I get it and I lose it. And, you know, the misery is never worth it. So I'm here because I'm asking my higher power to help me and to be more committed to program and to hear everybody. So on that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Arlene D. from California. Now, Haya P., please share with us.
Hi, everybody. Thanks so much for your service. Hi, everybody. This is Haya P., very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, bulimic, and restrictor in snowy Colorado. Welcome to anyone who's new. This really is, Overeaters Anonymous really does have the solution. And, you know, this paragraph, what I got, the line where we find God, you know, we find a higher power. And that is I was listening to the recording from Sunday morning, and, you know, it really brought home, you know, and just over and over and over again that she had mentioned Carl Jung, and how he had said, you know, that this problem really is fundamentally, and I'm totally paraphrasing, but fundamentally at the core, it is a longing, a craving, pardon the pun, for a relationship with a greater being. a power greater than myself, the bigger picture, something bigger than me, bigger than anyone. And so that's where the solution is. And that's what that's the vision for us, right? Is that we, at least for me, I can speak for me, that what I got in exchange for the food and the behaviors around the food was a fellowship among me, which is amazing, and a purpose, and the ability to help others, and and most importantly, a relationship with a power greater than myself, and better relationships with the people in my life. And I'm so grateful for that. And I think, you know, it just shows how, like, people, it just kept popping up and more and more and more. And just like this meeting has grown over the years, just like other meetings have grown over the years, you know, a healthy OA meeting, there's so much hope. And, you know, it does talk about hospitalization. And I know for me, when I sponsor, you know, we go into a hospitalization phase. You know, what would you do if you were in the hospital? You wouldn't be taking on new projects. You wouldn't be doing any more than what you basically have to do, right? Any more of your basic responsibilities, whether that's small children or a job or what have you, but nothing more, so that the focus is all on the rehabilitation. And that has been very helpful, proven helpful for me, for others, proven not helpful when you don't do it. and I'm just really, really grateful for my sponsor and those that came before her, and the fellowship in general, for all of you that are here today. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Haya P. from Colorado. Now I'm going to open up the lines to take the names of more people who would like to share on paragraph 3, the bottom page 161, under only slightly different conditions. And we're commenting on that one paragraph today. So we do value your experience, but we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us?
Anne in Southern California.
There was
this is Raquel
Anne,
from Israel.
And Raquel.
Joanne B.
And Joanne B.
Diane M.
Diane M.
Christy M.
Christy M.
Lauren Grace B.
Lauren Grace B.
Did you get Rachel P?
Rachel P. Okay, I have Anne, and I'll need your initial, Raquel. Joanne B, Diane M, Christy M, Lauren Grace B, and Rachel P. So, Anne, if you would please share with us, and please let us know where you're calling from, and give me your initial, if you would, please, Anne.
Yes, thank you. This is Anne M, as in Mary, in Southern California, and I'm very grateful for this meeting and the reading. And for me, vision is my hospitalization. I'm grateful for the example that AA had pioneered of helping people with alcoholism to dry out before they began their recovery process. And in 2019, and I have a history with regular OA going back something like 33 years, I was in a crisis. I was in regular OA and maintaining certain important bottom lines that I didn't violate, but I gained weight. And my therapist who was in program said, like, you should consider a treatment program. Like, I needed like a hospitalization. But she introduced me to vision, and that became a hospitalization of sorts. And I work vision along with other programs and need them all. It's been an interesting journey. I've had three vision sponsors. I've only worked with each for short periods. And the first one, I only worked with for a couple months before I went out. I just remember she shared, I told her I was fine eating popcorn. And I remember she just shared that she didn't. And we had this conversation. And I don't even know what happened. I just didn't eat popcorn again. Like, that was it. I'm so grateful for that. And
And my second sponsor, I went to Newark and I met her at a conference, and she helped me and helped me realize I needed to go work another program, first priority. And then but while working with her, I lost 35 pounds over the course of 4 to 6 months. And I kept most of that off while working other programs, but I recently gained weight again. And so I've worked very briefly, just a couple times with a sponsor who I'm not sure is now available, but I was introduced by that new sponsor to a wonderful nutritionist who is really helping me. And I don't know why my food cleaned up working with this new sponsor. I'm only 2.5 weeks into having my alcoholic foods down, but I'm not really sure that I'm sponsored now. So I need to probably find another. But I've got to say, every single sponsor I work with is giving me immeasurable gifts, and it feels a little humbling to be back looking for a sponsor again. But I need to stay in this period of hospitalization, and it's very precious to be at a place where the clean food is new, and it was extremely hard for the first 2 days. Like I thought I needed to go to an actual hospital, actually. And then I was honest about my grief and shared about it and my depression, and it also kind of cleared a bit and passed. So, but I realize I'm in kind of a bit of a precarious place because I do need a sponsor. So I'm not a newcomer anymore, so I can't identify as one. So I guess I'll just listen for thank you sponsors, and thanks for letting me share. I passed.
Thank you so much, Ann M. from California. And Raquel, will you please share with us now, followed by Joanne B. Good morning, Raquel. Press *1, Raquel. Okay, maybe Raquel had to step away. We'll come back to her. Joanne B., would you please share with us?
Good morning. This is Joanne B., recovered in Texas. What stood out to me was the sentence that says, although it might prejudice his own work, has told us of his belief in ours. And Dr. Silkworth, thinking about him, and as he's watching and he's so amazed at what's going on, he's seeing that it's working. This altruistic program is working for those who he thought and had always thought as hopeless, that he believed in them. He believed in their higher power, maybe, or whatever they were doing, right? What we're doing. And I got to see this. I don't go to the doctor very often. And I got to go, and he knows I'm an addict. And he said that he knows that I have trouble with food. And he said that, you know, I've known you for a long time, and I've seen the difference that's occurring in you. And he wasn't talking about the physical. He was talking about how I was learning how to handle life, because I was pretty much a mess emotionally and didn't handle life very well. And it just reminds me of, you know, referring back to other pages in the big book. I love how the writers in this book always bring in the same things over and over again, and how it refers back to that this is an altruistic program, and that our main purpose is to help that other suffering compulsive overeater, in our case, to find their own conception of God, find their higher power, and to help them learn how to clean house and share this with them. And that's what you all have done for me, my sponsors have done for me, and still do for me. And with that, I'm extremely grateful. And so thank you for your service. And it's wonderful to be here today, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne B. from Texas. Diane M., will you share with us now, followed by Christy M.? Good morning, Diane.
Good morning. This is Diane M., and I'm calling from Michigan. Thank you for your service. So what I was thinking about was, you know, the presence of the power of God within its walls of the hospital room. So we don't, I don't think many of us have access to treatment for overeating today, not like it used to be. And my sponsor has talked about this hospitalization routine, which I love that idea of being like treating yourself as if you're a patient in a hospital. And I just can't tell you how much this is transforming me. I know that, you know, it talks about in the OA literature, it talks about the recovery begins to happen when we're willing to take action. So I've had 40 years in this program, and I've never been as willing as I am right now to take the action that is necessary, and that this power of God feels like, I mean, I'm becoming more and more in touch with it as I'm willing to take the action, you know, getting a sponsor, taking their advice, following a food plan, weighing and measuring my food, making my phone calls and reaching out to other people, helping others, all those things that I'm willing to do right now that is completely transforming me. And I just feel incredibly grateful for that. And I love that concept of treating yourself, you know, not getting involved in other things. My life is very chaotic right now. My husband has cancer and he's in chemo and radiation and things are crazy, but I am staying very much at peace and I'm calm. And that's only because of the presence of a higher power in my life. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane M. from Michigan. Christy M., will you share with us now, followed by Lauren Grace B.? Go ahead, Christy.
Good morning. This is Christy M., grateful, recovering bulimic, anorexic, and overeater in Oregon. And I guess what this paragraph makes me think of is the hospital makes me think of a place of science that's really, you know, black and white, biological. And here there's like a hospital and there's a spiritual program where I feel like that's where I came to the end of is like what science could do. Like none of the scientific programs or hospitals could cure my bulimia. Like I had gone to medical facilities, you know, all the different books that have come out, like Paleo or whatever. So all these books that have come out based on science couldn't cure my disease. And when I walked into the room, you know, I think I fell back on some of the pieces of science. Like, I really wanted it to be, like, black and white. Like, A plus B equals C. If I do A and then I do B, then I'm going to get C, right? But that's not how my disease worked. And no matter how much I wanted it to be linear and logical and to make sense that way, it just didn't. And I think one of my biggest learnings about this program is it's a spiritual program at the end of the day. I can do the tools. I can have a food plan. I can see a dietitian. I can do all those things. But at the end of the day, it's founded in my relationship with my higher power. It's based on spiritual principles. So I can't just rely on the science. I can't just rely on the linear kind of formulaic pieces. It's really about, you know, me turning my life and will over to a power greater than myself every day and trusting that power instead of trying to take it back in my own hands. And I think what's really beautiful about this paragraph and this relationship is you have this hospital, which is really typically not spiritually based, it's scientific, also coming to the end and saying everything we've done for these patients is failed. Everything we know about science, everything we know about medicine is failed. And this doctor is like, there's nothing that works. And then also coming to the end and saying, here's a spiritual program, a program founded on a higher power. And it's the only thing I've seen cure this disease. So, and I think that's what I found in my program is this walk of like science of, you know, nutrition and weighing, measuring, and having a food plan, and all of that is founded in the spiritual relationship of working the steps. And I have to have both. And that, for me, is what was missing. And, you know, and that comes in this fellowship. That's where my higher power shows up. It comes in, you know, my relationship with my higher power. But I just think it's, thank you, I'll wrap up. I just think it's this beautiful thing where science and medicine really embrace the spiritual program as a solution. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Christy M. from Oregon. Lauren Grace B., will you share with us now, followed by Rachel P. Good morning, Lauren Grace.
Good morning. I'm Lauren Grace B. from New Jersey. And listening to everyone's shares, I'm not sure that I'm going to share anything new, but I could just really relate to a lot of what was said in this paragraph. I have been a longtime member of Overeaters Anonymous, and I feel like the light bulb is just getting switched on now. I feel like, where have I been? And early on when I came to Vision, I heard a special edition about hospitalization, and I thought, yes, that's really what I need. I need to be in the hospital. And I did follow the guidelines of being very attentive to my food, weighing and measuring, identifying the alcoholic foods and not taking on much else. I've been doing a meeting a day, and that's all been very helpful. When I first came into OA, the emphasis was really on the tools, working the tools. And the tools are wonderful, but the tools are not what give us the power and presence of God. And I feel like I didn't really understand the presence and power of God. And that's the only thing that made this hospital work when others failed. You know, there's so many weight loss methods and spiritual methods to conquer, but it's not the power and presence of God that people are relying on. God is the one that is doing the healing. It's not anything else but him. And I think why I wasn't getting it before was I was not into pure program. I was not into the big book program. This program is the program that worked for alcoholics. This was the original program. It seems to me, and this might just be my own personal opinion, is that when every time a new book comes down the road, it changes what's the pure program. It changes what's in this book. And I was working with other literature and I wasn't having success. This time it just is working like a miracle, going through the steps. I'm on my fourth step now, and I can't believe the way this simple layout of taking my inventory has been working for me. And I think that's really all I wanted to share. I'm just so grateful for Vision, grateful for the people who are serving today, and most of all, I am grateful to the power and presence of God in my life today. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Lauren Grace B. from New Jersey. Now we'll have Rachel P. share, followed by Raquel, see if she's back on the line. So Rachel P., please share with us and let us know where you're calling from, if you would.
Good morning. This is Rachel P., recovered compulsive reader in Denver, Colorado. It's very snowy here. In reading this paragraph, what comes to mind is just the humility that it took for this doctor to say, you know, essentially, I don't have the power. You know, I have all these degrees, I have all this experience, and I don't have what, you know, these people's hopeless state of mind and body need to get better. And, you know, I thought of the word humility, and then I thought of like the principles of the program, which are honesty, hope, surrender, courage, integrity, willingness, humility, love, responsibility, discipline, awareness, service, and just that working these steps, and most importantly, cultivating a connection with a higher power produces a personality shift such that we are now, you know, in a recovered state, we are living our lives exhibiting these principles of the program, and that ripples out. So, you know, when these original AA members got recovered and started to live their lives on new footing, that started to ripple out, and this doctor could see these people have changed wholly, completely. They've found recovery, a recovery that I couldn't offer them. And I'm not a big book historian, but I presume this is talking about Dr. Bob, who, you know, wrote the letters in the doctor's opinion. And it just took so much humility for him to say, I don't have the answers. And, you know, part of my story is that, you know, I came into OA through a counselor who I came to see, and I told her the secret I had been harboring for a couple decades, that, you know, this is what I do with food. And she told me, you need to go to OA, because she had gotten recovered in OA herself. And now, several years later, inspired by her, I work as a counselor. I'm an intern, and I'm finishing a master's degree in counseling. And I work with people with substance use disorder, alcohol use disorder, and now I tell people, I don't have all the answers here, you know, and I recommend that people get connected with 12-step programs, because, you know, counseling and psychology can offer quite a bit, and it can be a beautiful healing relationship. And, it has its limitations. It can't get people connected to God. It can't get people connected to other people who are walking this path trying to get connected to God. And that's the beauty of the 12 steps, and it's saved my life, and it's changed my life. And I hope that I could continue to transmit that to other people, that, you know, the answer is here, the answer is in this spiritual solution. You know, if we're a real compulsive overeater, real, you know, whatever, this is where the answer is the spiritual solution. And it's such a beautiful program, and I'm just so, so grateful, you know, for this history, and that it's all, you know, come together and coalesced to what it is today, and continues to save lives and change lives. Thank you all, Pat.
Thank you so much, Rachel P. from Colorado. And now, Raquel, are you available to share with us this morning? Okay. I'll go ahead and take like a couple more names. If you haven't shared in the last 3 days, we ask that you would go ahead and give us your name if you'd like to share today.
Patricia H. from North Carolina.
Patricia H. And I'll take one more name. Okay, Patricia, let's go ahead and have you share with us, and then I'll take another name after that. Go ahead, Patricia.
Good morning. This is Patricia H. from North Carolina. I'm just so appreciative of this program, and my heart is just so full of gratitude this morning, just listening to others share. And so it kind of jumps out at me when it talks about God being present in the room, how I feel his presence in the shares of the people in a vision for you, and how I feel his presence in the servitude of the people that are on these calls every morning, Monday through Friday and on Sunday, to make this happen for us. And even the pioneers of the Big Book, when I read through now how I can relate to so much of the stuff that I'm reading, and I'm learning so much through a newly acquired sponsor. And it's just really mind-boggling. I have tried everything from hypnosis to stomach staple and every diet that was out there, but nothing worked. Except now I'm feeling different. I can't even really put it in words how the spiritual awareness that I'm receiving and how I'm understanding more about God, and I'm understanding more about my own self and the fact that this is a disease and it's not my fault. That was hard for me to really conceive. And I just thank you all for your presence and allowing the presence of God to radiate through you, even on this call. And with that, I'll pass. This is Patricia from North Carolina.
Thank you so much, Patricia. And I'll take one more name for another share. Who would like to share on page 161, the third paragraph, under only slightly different conditions, sharing on that paragraph? Who would like to share with us?
Bonnie J.M.
Bonnie J.M. Okay, go ahead, Bonnie. And let us know where you're calling from, if you would. Go ahead, Bonnie. Press star one, Bonnie.
It took me a minute to get unmuted. Yeah, I'm Bonnie J.M. I'm from Arizona, and I, like one of the other speakers, when I first came into this program, I came in because of a client that wanted to go to OA, and I had major judgments about it, and they weren't good, and they were unfounded, and they were very prejudiced. But mostly what I had thought, and I worked with eating disorders, I thought, oh, my gosh, they just pray to God, and they think the weight's going to fall off. How crazy is that? But anyway, when she told me she wanted to go, I went to a meeting to check it out. And that was in the early 80s, and I have never left. And I was not overweight, but I was at the time a white-knuckled thin person. And like I said, I've never left. I never intended to stay, but I did. And as I was writing this morning, I was thinking, my gosh, since the early 80s, almost every day of my life since then, I've written a letter to God. I didn't have a basically my belief in God when I first came was, yeah, I did believe in God because I was here, but I didn't really have a relationship with him. And then getting in this program, it took me a long time to even do step one. And by the grace of God, I stayed in. I don't know why I did, because I've never been consistent about staying in anything that I totally didn't understand, and I didn't understand the program for a while. But little by little, things started happening, and I started noticing it. And I knew it wasn't about me, and I knew this program was working. And so I don't know how many years it is since the early 80s, but I do believe recovery is a process. And for anybody that's questioning or is just coming in because they have a desire to lose weight, I just say stay and expect the miracles. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Bonnie J.M. from Arizona. And we're now going to close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Dana P. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, thank you, Dawn. Good morning. Thank you so much for your service, and what a pleasure and honor to be a part of this fellowship and be doing service on the line here in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.